It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Good morning to you, sir. They're already creeping up on you behind him.
How are you?
Yeah, Kelly's already fending off the peeps behind him.
It's like we just started doing a radio show here, you know?
We got a bunch of football on the show today. Football on a Wednesday, championship week. Will Hill will join us with all his plays. Mike Pritchard. Aaron Schatz. I'm bearing the headline. Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA, who does his stuff over at FTN Sports. He's going to put the Ravens and the Niners in historical perspective. Remember, we didn't talk to him before. We talked to him prior to Week 18. We'll get the final read on those two teams, DVOA, wise through the lens of history, and then his thoughts on the two championship games. Jason Weingarten, JVT, will chime in. Let us begin with how a numbers game, first of all, numbers game yesterday, Jim Root hit all the college basketball. Am I correct on that?
Bang.
Drew Dinsick hit all of his bets. Am I correct on
Bang.
That?
Bang.
You hit all your NBA. Am I correct on that?
Bang.
I was 2-0 into the night, into the overnight of tennis. Am I correct on that?
Bang.
Including a plus 179 dog. I was a set away from a sweep. Couldn't get it.
Way
couldn't
to screw get it up the entire overnight. Show, Gil. Come on.
Yeah, I hope you listened yesterday and played some of those because that's a bevy of winners. Speaking of the Australian Open, let's start there. We'll do a little. Well, before we get to all the football, let's do a little tennis, golf, and basketball. Tennis did go 2-1 with the plays yesterday that gave out on the show. It was one of those rare ones here in the Australian Open. Was able to give them out on the show in advance of the matches. Hit on Diana Yastremska, plus 179. She took down Linda Noskova, no problem, straight sets. Then the over in the Medvedev-Orkots match hit. That was a five-setter, which Daniil Medvedev outlasted Orkots. Great match. Medvedev getting to the semis. And Anna Kolinskaya fell short as the other dog, plus 174. She won the first set against Zhang Xinwen before Xinwen came back and won that match. So that's 9 of 12 now, 9 of the last 12 in the Australian Open, 9-3 run with a plus 334 dog, a plus 179 dog, and a plus 177 dog thrown in there. So the hard courts
not bad.
Have come back, ladies and gentlemen. Good not for that. Now, here's the deal. There are two women's semis tonight. By tonight, I mean in the middle of the night, our time. Both East Coast and West Coast, middle of the night. Two great matches. I don't have the plays yet, but just between you and me, it looks like it's going to be both dogs. And by both dogs, I mean it looks like it's going to be Coco Gauff as the play over Aryna Sabalenka. It looks like I'm going to take Yastremska over Xinwen, Zhang Xinwen. The numbers for both Gauff and Yastremska are spectacular. I do not understand the prices on both of them, so I'm thinking those are going to be the two picks. Don't hold me to it, but I believe those will be the two picks.
Both plus 180 in their matches.
Both plus 180, which doesn't make any sense to me in either case. Sabalenka is the favorite to win the tournament at minus 140. Coco, who she's playing, is actually the next short shot. Then you have Zhang Xinwen, and then you have Diana Yastremska at 14-1. Yastremska, a qualifier, who has gotten to the semis. It's not quite the Emma Raducanu story where no one really knows who she was, you know, knew who she was, really, main you know, casual fans. Yastremska's been around a while, but she had a doping incident, so she's had to work her way back.
Oh.
The men's semis are set. Those aren't till tomorrow evening. It's Djokovic against Sinner, which, by most people's pre-flop thoughts, were the two biggest favorites in this tournament anyway. And on the other side, it's Daniil Medvedev, who our buddy Reggie, who works here. He took my Christmas. I gave Christmas gifts to all the crew, $100 future for all of them. He chose Medvedev to win the Australian Open at 10-1. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Medvedev taking on Sasha Zverev in the surprise of the morning. Zverev beating Carlos Alcaraz, Carlitos, in four sets, which was a match that Sasha Zverev looked like he was going to put away in straight sets. He was up 5-2 in the third, 2 points away, and then Carlitos came back, and it looked like he could gack it, but he got it done in four. So that's the one surprise on the men's side. So
let's go, Djokovic.
I'm in. You got Djokovic here.
Yeah, I bet it this morning. Right, when I turned on that match, I was like, Carlitos going down.
I don't know if you know this. Djokovic is pretty good at tennis.
Pretty good.
Pretty good at tennis. He's won 10 of these.
This is what we talk about, though. Like, I bet in the middle of that match at minus 115, 16, something like that. And you're talking about, what was the number pre-flop of the tournament, plus 120? Like, it's, you can wait so many rounds before you get involved with such a, you know, such a minimal change.
That's the big one tomorrow, though. Djokovic and Sinner. Real quick, because the golf tournament starts.
Yes.
A minute on golf. What do you got here?
Yes. Real quick. Everything that I got. We got Farmers Insurance Open starting here in San Diego over in Torrey Pines. Here in about an hour, I believe, is first tee time. So outrights I ended up playing, went over a little bit of this yesterday. Keegan Bradley, I mentioned, 33-1 on him. Sahith Theegala landed on that with the boys after doing long shots yesterday. You can listen to that now wherever you get podcasts. 33-1 on him. And then my one bomb here, 80-1 on Luke List. And then did play in the winter without Markey because I do think those four guys at the top hold a lot of win equity in Morikawa, Homa, Cantlay, and Shoffley. So I played a Sungjae Im 16-1 winner without. Top 20s on Keegan Bradley and Hideki Matsuyama. Ludvig Åberg, top Scandinavian, plus 121. And then a little FRL action for today. Sahith Theegala and Doug Gim on the North Course, 25-1 and 65-1 respectively. And on the South Course, Keegan Bradley, 25-1.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Now, the big news in the old baloncesto last night, baloncesto, basketball, was that the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks, they have the 30-13 record, tied for the second-best record in the NBA, along with the T-Wolves out west and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Only the Celtics have a better record. 30-13, they fired their head coach, Adrian Griffin, which was not entirely shocking. Even during the in-play tournament, I remember there being a little buzz about him being on the outs already. He's gone, 30-13. Now, that was the reason for that, because you're like, 30-13, why would they fire him, is because of their defensive play, correct?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things, but probably mainly that. It's we brought it up during the in-season tournament. We brought it up in December. We brought it up in January. I'm not really shocked to see him go. I know the casual NBA fan, you're going to look at that record and say, how could you possibly fire this guy? But when you brought in Damian Lillard and you lost Drew Holiday.
Well, that was my follow-up, right? You lost Drew, right?
Yeah, you lost Drew.
What did you expect here?
Well, I think that, okay, you knew going into the season what you had and what you had to work on. And it was, okay, you're going to have one of the best offenses in the league, which they've had. They've had a top-five offense throughout the course of the season. And, okay, you're going to take a defensive setback. But how far is that setback? And is it just going to be at the beginning of the season and you need a couple months of these guys playing together for it to get better? And here's the problem, Gil. I think it was worse than what I even would have imagined at the beginning, and it never really got better. And there's another big thing. Whenever we talked about Damian Lillard coming over to the Milwaukee Bucks, we all sat here. I'm not going to bring anybody else into me. I sat here and was like, hey, you're going to see one of the most unstoppable pick and roll matchups that we've ever seen with Damian Lillard and Giannis.
They don't do that.
And we don't really talk about it. Yeah. So, in my opinion, Adrian Griffin he knew exactly what he had to work on when he got in there. It was developing that chemistry and that pick and roll action, which everybody runs in this league, and he needed to work on the defense. None of that improved.
So, the buzz, and by buzz, I mean we think it's going to happen, is that the guy who was advising Adrian Griffin, Doc Rivers, is going to be the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Maybe today we'll find that out officially. In case you missed it last night on TNT, just to get you all caught up, this is from the Awful Announcing article on it. TNT's Inside the NBA reported that CNN Sports, and by the way, they're under the same broadcast umbrella, TNT and CNN, they reported on Inside the NBA that CNN Sports reported that Rivers had agreed to be the head coach of the Bucks. CNN confirmed that reporting, and then TNT's own NBA insider, Chris Haynes, refuted that report, which had just been confirmed on TNT.
Yeah.
So there you go. But it looks like Doc Rivers is going to be the coach of the Bucks, and Kelly, it's not moving any betting markets, I'll tell you that right now. Not in any significant way. And this is the same Doc Rivers that, yes, he's had successful regular seasons wherever he's gone, whether it's L.A. or Philadelphia or, of course, more famously in Boston where he won one championship. Some might argue that the one championship was a bit of an underperformance with Kevin Garnett, with Paul Pierce, and with Rajon Rondo, and with Ray Allen. But what Doc Rivers is mainly known for, of course, as we've talked about almost each and every postseason here, is that he is 16-33 in playoff games where his team already had three wins in best of sevens. They've blown, Doc Rivers' coach teams in the postseason have blown three 3-1 leads. Okay, they've blown three 3-1 leads, four other 3-2 leads, one other 2-0 lead, and have lost Game 7 at home four times, five if you count the bubble. Oh, I'm not done. About those 3-1 leads that were gacked, in the history of the NBA playoffs, a team has come back from a 3-1 series deficit only 13 times. Rivers has three of those, which is 23.1%.
Yeah.
That's the guy they're hiring.
Yep.
And I have to tell you, Kelly, that I'm watching the TNT studio. Is Adam Lefko?
Yeah.
Adam Lefko is breaking the news off his phone in the midst of all this, where they thought that Doc was a done deal already. And he is announcing it with the gravitas of Cronkite taking off his glasses during the Kennedy assassination. And I'm literally laughing out loud. I'm like, are you kidding me with this? Like, this is not a needle mover.
No.
It just isn't.
No, not at all. I think the so to follow up on the reaction of, okay, let's take one thing at a time, right? Adrian Griffin being fired. Am I surprised? Do I think it's a wrong move by the Milwaukee Bucks? No. Do I think Doc Rivers is the guy? No. I mean, everything I just talked about. You're expecting Doc Rivers to come in here and fix this all right away?
I'm not saying he's terrible. He's all right. But it's like the way that the NBA, you know, community is announcing this. It's like, that's the difference between mainstream and the betting community. We're just like, oh, that's awesome. Can I recite your playoff stats again?
Yeah, when was your last championship? 08? Oh, cool. That was recent.
JVT's got some thoughts on this. He'll quantify the Bucks' defensive demise. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. Plus, our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus, our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG.
That's ANG. NG as in a numbers game, Gil.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Randy Higgins. The VSiN live package is worth it just for Gil's tennis alone. Hell of a day, sir. Thank you. By the way, it's worth it for everyone's picks, all hosts, all guests on this network. We should have mentioned that when we were giving our golf and tennis plays earlier at VSiN.com/picks. A lot of reaction, Kelly, to yesterday's show from folks. First of all, Eric Berg, though, he says, where is Barry Lamar Bonds? Oh, okay, it's coming. We got to do. I'm sorry. We'll do that. We will.
It's
do
coming.
It. It's our annual tradition here on a numbers game. We'll get to that a little later on the show. This is from this. Let's see here. Pardon me. I just want to do the one more here, and now it's escaped me. But this was about the whole thing yesterday. Teasers and parlays. Listening to the replay of ANG. Always enjoy the math segments and the explanation behind 2-point conversions. Great show as always, Jets. There was a bunch of those about the 2-point explanation yesterday. No math on today's show, ladies and gentlemen. No math. Unless JVT has some, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us. He is the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with Kelly Bidlin and Zach Cohen. He's our senior NBA analyst, and he is a football guy as well. He joins us now. How you doing, John?
I'm good. You know, my article's up on the website as well. If you want to check that out at VSiN.com. And if you want to sign up for a VSiN Pro subscription, you can get 10% off. Use a promo code LIVE instead of ANG and give me some credit instead.
Wow. How about that? All right, live. Let me ask you this. Can you quantify the Bucks' defensive sort of demise under Adrian Griffin for us and why this happened?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a couple of things, right? And I do think that Adrian Griffin aside, and the fact that clearly there was some sort of personal disconnect in that locker room with Adrian Griffin. You know, we had talked about this on the pod a lot, Gil, where starting at the beginning of the year, it didn't go off very well, right? The Stotts thing, the fact that Giannis is openly like insubordinate, right, on the sidelines with him multiple times that we saw, there's clearly something that wasn't really vibing there. But I do think we have to look at the players themselves. You know, I've watched Damian Lillard play less than enthusiastic defense at the point of attack many times this season. And it's been a really big reason why their defense has struggled. Their transition defense is among some of the worst in the NBA. There's a reason why, right? Because that's an effort thing, right? That's not a scheme thing. That's a, hey, get back. And Kelly and I sat in the press box up in press row for the in-season tournament and watched the Indiana Pacers just sprint down the floor past guys over and over and over again. Those aren't things that, hey, Adrian Griffin needs to fix his scheme. Those are things that say, you know, you guys got to play better. And I think that maybe you get that once Griffin is gone, but there was clearly a disconnect. And I'll take you back to like the first month of the season. And Zach Lowe talked about this on this podcast where, you know, smarter basketball minds than I were watching that team at the beginning of the year and watching a team that was taking away some defensive principles from Toronto. Adrian Griffin, a former Toronto assistant, worked under Nick Nurse, makes some sense. And then you saw about a month later, they went back to this traditional drop coverage. And clearly there was some sort of Zach Lowe used the word mutiny. I think he was being a little tongue in cheek, but there was clearly some sort of, hey, we don't want to do this anymore. Let's go back to the way we were doing it. And I think that's the problem. I don't think Griffin was a particularly good coach. I think he had lost that locker room. But I also think that there is something on Giannis, the Bucks, and this locker room as well, allowing him to lose that locker room. And I thought it was just a perfect mix of issues that led to him getting fired. And I think maybe as we move forward, Joe Prunty, former Bucks assistant, former Bucks interim coach, by the way, I think he's done it twice now. I think that there's something to getting a guy up there that is at least going to get the most out of a team that does like him. Giannis really likes him by all accounts. They are very close together. So maybe that's going to help. But I thought this is a perfect mix of everybody failing, not just Adrian Griffin in terms of these struggles that we've seen for Milwaukee.
I think it's a great point. By the way, I was at that in-season tournament too, but I was too busy drinking hot cocoa to keep warm to have noticed that defensive struggle. If it is Doc Rivers, like, I mean, that's not – that's not the difference between them winning a championship and not, right?
No, I don't think so. Like, I think in I'll give Raheem Palmer credit for this because I liked the way that they put it. And it's something that I've thought, but I couldn't think to put it eloquently enough, which is, you know, Doc Rivers is good enough, Gil, to get a team that should be a 50-win team to be a 50-win team, right? Like, he is going to, he's going to be able to work the relationships. Everybody likes him. He's going to be able to get the floor out of that team. And that floor is a 50-win team. They're already on pace to do that. However, as we have seen multiple times in the issues in terms of blowing these 3-1 leads and all these sort of things that Doc has had in the postseason, I do not think, and I think history tells us, that he is a coach that adds wins on the margins, that has adjustments during a playoff series that would allow them to solve problems. And that, I think, to me, is the problem here, which is, cool, you're going to get Doc Rivers to come in and massage egos and be a good guy and allow them to roll the ball out and play to their potential. But when you get to the postseason and when you get, you know, a defense that is giving you issues, can you adjust in terms of your offensive game plan when you can see this thing slipping away? And history would tell us that Doc Rivers is not capable of doing that. And I just don't think that's going to be something that pushes them past the edge that they need to be pushed past.
Okay, after an NBA night that included a protest from Chauncey Billups and the Portland Trailblazers that the refs didn't see him trying to call a timeout. By the way, it's never gonna be upheld. Blazers lose to the Thunder by 2 in the closing moments. What do you have today?
I texted Kelly this actually. So I've got 2 bets that I've actually made. I've got like 4 others that I'm very much considering here, depending on what the market wants to do. But the 2 bets that I've actually made, let's start with the thing that we just actually talked about, right? Milwaukee. So I did lay 6.5 here with the Bucks. And part of my thinking is just what we talked about. Look, Joe Prunty is a respected, long-tenured assistant that has the respect of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the rest in this locker room. You are back home after a 3-game trip in which you got blown out by the Cavaliers and fought tooth and nail in 2 consecutive games in Detroit. You should be able to come into this game and play a very, we'll call it spirited effort. And on top of that, guys, as Kelly well knows, Cavaliers have been playing very, very good basketball. But I think we're at a point where we're getting near the market high. I'll take you back to last week. When they played in Cleveland, before Giannis was a late scratch, the Cleveland Cavaliers were catching 4.5 in that game. That would tell you that's about a 6.5 point difference on a neutral. Well, the Bucks are laying 6.5 here in Milwaukee. So clearly there's been a market adjustment on how well Cleveland has been playing. I'll play against that market adjustment, think that it's been a little bit too much, and I'll lay 6.5 with the Milwaukee Bucks. And the other, kind of going along with the vibes as well, you know, the other day, it was an incredible day. Giannis had a 38-17 and like 10 triple-double in a game in which they won. We didn't even talk about it.
No
Why?
One noticed.
Because Joel Embiid scored 70, Karl Anthony Towns scored 62. But when Karl Anthony Towns scored 62 the other night, his coach came out and said, that was pathetic. That was lazy. They were hunting. That was ridiculous. I think you get a really good effort here from Minnesota defensively after a really lackluster performance against Charlotte the other day. They're one of the best rim defenses in the NBA, taking on a Wizards team that is highly dependent on getting in the restricted area. This is going to be one where I think Chris Finch has this team really ready to go. So Wizards team total under 109.5. I laid minus 115. I think that's playable but to about minus 125, minus 130. But those are the two today so far. Bucks -6.5 and Wizards team total under 109.5.
Love it. Chris Finch calling it immature basketball the other night. From Cat, and really not just Cat, the teammates, as we like to point out. Yeah. It's really the whole team he was going after. All right, give me a minute on, give us a minute on each of these. Let's start with the AFC Championship, JVT, between the Ravens and the Chiefs, with the Ravens 3.5-point favorites here.
Yeah, so I've got a Kansas City future at 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to do some Baltimore money line here. I want to see how cheap it gets, although I might be waiting a little too long because we're starting to see this get to 4. But I think if you eliminate, like, where am I at in terms of a position, my heart wants to say back the dude who's just a pure winner. My brain says Baltimore's a team that has a defense that is going to be able to, I think, thrive here. They have the pieces to take away Travis Kelce. They've got a run game that can take advantage of a defense that is 26th in terms of adjusted line yards allowed. They have, I think, everything going for them in this matchup, and you could really see that Baltimore comes in and wins this game and wins by margin. I agree. I find myself agreeing with where the market's going here. So in terms of an actual bet, I will be on Baltimore from a money line perspective, Gil, just considering where I'm at. But I think if you eliminate that, Baltimore is the absolute side, given everything that they can do well here against the Kansas City team that has really struggled and is going to have to rely on a group of wide receivers that has been very inconsistent throughout this entire year, because the weakness of Baltimore is their corners, not so much their linebackers. So I do think that Kansas City's in a tough spot here, and I think eventually Baltimore wins and moves on to the Super Bowl. And as far as Detroit, San Francisco goes, I actually feel stronger about the total than I do about the side. I do think Detroit would be the side for me, but I like this game under. I think when you look at what San Francisco and Detroit want to do, it starts with their running games. Detroit, very low key, a top 10 defense against the run in multiple different metrics. I think they'll be able to defend very well against Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. On the flip side, I think Ben Johnson, I think the world of him, but I think this San Francisco defense, the ability to pressure Jared Goff, is going to stymie this team. So I thought 51 was a little high. I bet under 51, but I do think 7 is the side if you're going to get ahead and play it.
Such a great point, by the way, by you on the previous game, which is the Ravens' weakness of the defensive secondary of the secondary gets mitigated by the fact that the Chiefs' wideouts are a weakness. Such a great handicapping point that spans across sports. Dr. Bob used to do a lot of that in basketball. It's sort of like a thing that people don't necessarily process. Besides the promo on promo crime, great spot, JVT. We appreciate that. Thank you,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
At me, JVT, is where you can find Jonathan Von Tobel, once again, our senior NBA analyst and the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers. What do you know about that podcast, Kelly?
I know we're recording in about 3 hours.
3 hours. I got a Megapod after this with Cleve T.A. as the championship game guest. Will Hill is next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, we've got this.
Check out Stephanie Kamerschak, one of the great producers around here. Gil writes up a first touchdown article every single week. That's in the newsletter today.
Stop it.
Swear to God.
Really? Good for Steph. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. SN Wright. I can't wait to sound smart about going for two the next time I'm around a bunch of know-it-all flat bellies. Okay, glad we had an impact. Know-it-all flat bellies.
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
Didn't expect that. Vegas regular. So apparently 2,100 hits, 143 homers, and 923 RBIs. First ballot Hall of Fame worthy. Friggin' Joe Club. You know, at this point, I think, Kelly, what we should do is just, I do this every year. There's no reason for me to do it again. Let's just take a video from a previous year. Let's pick any random year, and let's just run it back for a few minutes.
Sounds like a great idea.
All right,
I think we'll do that
later
at the end of the show.
I got my rant coming. People are waiting for it. Primetime. I'm sorry, but JBT's description of Lillard's defensive effort as being, quote, less than enthusiastic would be like Kelly saying a golfer that shanks one in the middle of a lake being in a spot of bother. That's very true. Ladies and gentlemen, he is doing not single duty, not double duty, probably triple duty, if not more, on the network today. It's Will Hill, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. He's also the host of his own podcast, Shoulda Bet More. Will Hill, everybody, joins us. How you doing, man?
Gil, what's going on? Appreciate you promoting my podcast. I'd like to also promote my Venmo if I could after just betting Carlos Alcaraz time after time this morning. So, man, that was that one got him at plus 255, and I just kept firing. Man, he's not gonna, he's not gonna lose this the way he came back. And I don't know if you saw, but he did lose it, Gil.
He did. Yes. No. I'm checking. We're gonna verify. We're gonna confirm. Vet that. We're gonna vet that for you. See if that is in fact the case. Man, let's start with the NFL. And the championship games. We might even end with that, but we'll see how it goes. But Will, we should point out, is also hosting Lombardi Line today. Is that correct? We should want to let people know?
Rumor has it, yeah, 1 to 3 Eastern. So
okay,
Megapod right into Lombardi Line with Stormy. So
this guy,
big day, yeah,
big day. All right, let's start with Baltimore and Kansas City. First of all, what futures do you have? Any futures pending yourself?
Yeah, I mean, at Kansas City 6-1. I had Bills 50-1 die last week in a painful way. Oh. Some of these are competing. So I do have 49ers, Ravens plus 310 to meet in the Super Bowl. Some of these are differing amounts. So I honestly, once I'm done today, I have to go down and just see what I'm rooting for, see just where I stand, because it's held off me making more bets. I also have NFC to win the Super Bowl, which I don't love. I wish I could just get rid of that. So I have to factor that in, where I really need the 49ers in this game. So a lot of moving parts here. Nothing crazy, but enough to where I'm just, it does affect my mindset going into these games.
Well, that's a great point. That's why I ask, because I think there's a lot of people, maybe they don't have as many that's still alive as you do, but even if they have one alive, I certainly do as well, where it does then, like, right, you in a normal week, you would be handicapping this in a vacuum, and here you have that in the back of your mind. Do you believe in sort of trying to put those to the side, or are you constantly thinking of, okay, well, I have these, so if that happens, I got to do this, that sort of thing?
The latter one, just because, I mean, these bets are in your account for, some of them longer than others, but this is time now. This is where they actually cash or don't cash. And, some of them, theoretically, if you bet it on credit, it's time to pay if they lose. So that factors into it, too. So they definitely factor into how I bet these games.
Unless your thinking on something has changed so drastically, right, that you would throw it out the window, which probably hasn't happened, I would imagine.
I was way more enthusiastic about the NFC over the AFC. I mean, I bet it for a reason, thinking, hey, San Francisco is going to get in this game. And remember, San Francisco played Baltimore Christmas night not that long ago. The spread was 6.5. So I figured, hey, we get a rematch in the Super Bowl. This was probably before that game was played. I'm pretty sure it was. You figure, hey, we'll take away 1.5 for home field. I'll probably be laying 4, 4.5, worst case scenario. Now I'm looking at, like, the look ahead line's 1.5. I would think if they meet in the Super Bowl, maybe give San Francisco a slight home field, because it is in Vegas, to get more 49ers fans. But boy, I would think that would probably close like a pick'em. I know Super Bowl is usually not a pick'em. They want to have a spread one way or another, but I don't know. Do you think that's really San Francisco laying anything in that game?
No. And you know who agrees with you is Fezzik. Fezzik believes it'll be a pick'em also, if that's the matchup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He thinks that's how that it absolutely will be what it will end up being between the Niners and the Ravens. As for
he took a break from refereeing these games to do some handicapping.
What he's referring to is the fumble out of the end zone, the Mecole Hardman fumble that was being reviewed, that ultimately was reviewed as a fumble through the end zone for the Chiefs against the Bills. Fezzik was adamant beyond belief that he was down.
I think we can quote him. He won't mind if we quote him, right?
Yeah.
Well, everyone is blind. It's clearly not a fumble.
That's right. Everyone is blind. In capital letters, I believe,
everyone.
If I'm not mistaken. Everyone is blind. It's obvious. Okay, so what are you ending up doing pre-flop with this game?
I like the Chiefs plus 3.5. I mean, I know it's simple, but I can't lay points against Mahomes. I'm surprised we're getting the hook here. I saw some fours start to pop up yesterday at the South Point. I know Baltimore's better. I know they're the better team here. But you start to factor in Mahomes. You do this with LeBron. Some of those Cavs teams that he brought to the finals, even the years he's a playing team with the Lakers, like, you have to give a bump to Mahomes in the playoffs, just like he gave a bump to LeBron in the playoffs. There's another gear. I think we've always heard about Andy Reid. He saves the good plays for the playoffs. I think now you can make the case, hey, he's beat up on a Bills defense and a Miami defense that was missing half their guys. That's certainly possible. But look, I'm not going to just sit here and lay points against Mahomes. He's so good. I know it's simple. I know it's not profound by any stretch, but I'm not laying points against them.
How to tackle the Niners and the Lions now with the Debo uncertainty, where the Niners have just been such a different team when he's not available.
And we're not going to know anything about him until the game starts, because if he's playing, let's just say he's playing, we're not going to know if he's actually healthy or he's just a decoy until the game starts. And if he's out, they're not going to tell us he's out until the inactives come. So my guess is he plays, but how healthy he is, it's not always A or B. He's playing or he's not playing. He could play but not be 100%, which changes things. I haven't bet anything with this game. I'd still probably go back to the well. I'll probably end up with 49ers team total over 28.5. I'd love to fade this 49ers team. I wasn't impressed by their offensive line. I've been saying for weeks now their defense is so overrated. And what Shanahan did before the end of the first half was just so completely ridiculous. I can't even begin to explain it. But it's hard with this Lions defense. They gave up 7.7 yards per play to the Rams. They gave up almost 7 yards per play to the Buccaneers. That's at home, in the dome, crowd noise. Now you're going to go on the road against a 49ers team with more weapons here. The weather should be okay. Again, I bet it last week against Green Bay, San Francisco, to get over 28.5, over 29.5. I don't like going back to it after it loses, but I would expect San Francisco to get in the 30s here.
That is your go-to bet. You've made that like so many weeks in a row, haven't you, with the Niners team total?
It was Niners team total, then it was Dallas team total against Green Bay. I think these team totals are good bets because you're really isolating your handicap into, hey, this unit versus this unit. I don't have to worry about backdoors or anything. I think there's a little less variance where you can really hone in on what you like in the game and find some good value there.
I mean, it would have hit last week if Greenlaw did the right
Greenlaw
thing
was
and
trying.
Scored there at the end, right? Come on.
It's hard. I think he's still running around with the ball looking for someone to lateral it to. I mean, he was determined. I appreciate him.
I might have been cursing. I'm just letting you know. I might have been. I literally, when that arm, like the fan's arm went up, I'm like looking around to see if I could find him.
Yeah, the best is when he went out of the camera shot, right?
Like
the
camera's there. Next thing you know, he's crisscrossing the field. Okay, last thing here, because I made this point yesterday about for the Brock Purdy hate, the hateration that is out there about him, where I made the point where it's like, you know, he is given no grace to make any mistakes, right? So the fact that he actually on that last drive was great, and Jordan Love, who I love, was actually awful 3 out of the last 4 drives. People just let that sort of slide. But if Purdy does anything wrong, you know, they go after him. And so I was saying this yesterday, and then someone sent me a tweet. Forgive me for not remembering who it was. But they sent me the tweet about Richard Sherman going after Ryan Clark, basically saying the same thing. And Debo apparently went after Ryan Clark also in some Purdy slander. And you made a great point on your podcast, Should Have Bet More, which is just about that, which is players. It's not just the analytics community and the metrics that are behind, you know, Brock Purdy, that support Brock Purdy being great. It's players and it's quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, I know Tom Brady, Kurt Warner, you just go down the line. They're all impressed by his film. And it's not just, hey, the EPA and all the stuff that some people don't really understand or look to. It's the former players like, wow, this kid's anticipation, his accuracy, decision making, all that stuff is elite. I love him. I'm a big fan. I think he's been underrated, unfairly treated, criticized or whatever. I will say, though, he stunk pretty badly the other night.
He did.
And this is twice now, pretty recently. I mean, this is 2 out of the last 3 times we've seen him. And I worry that his anticipation is such a big part of his game. And when he throws one early or when he almost throws an interception early, that just hesitation, like a fraction of a second, throws his game off a little bit.
Or rain is his kryptonite. One or the other. Could be both.
Could be that.
Will Hill, who's going to be on the Megapod in just over an hour, and then he's going to co-host the Lombardi Line with Stormy later. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it for having me. Thanks.
Should Have Bet More, name of his podcast, at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. We'll come back. Will alluded to those look-ahead Super Bowl lines. Circa posted theirs. We'll talk about those next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Polar bear, marshmallow, have we decided yet? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. We get tweets. Mark Meltzer. Meltzer like seltzer. Going to be on the Vegas Lifestyle Pod next week. He does this thing wherever there's an R&B concert in town. He's like, if you're looking for Gil, here's where, you know, on this particular, this one, he says, if you're looking for Gil on May 4th, make sure to arrive early for E40. There is a 90s R&B-ish kind of concert, May 4th. So may the 4th be with you, as B-Rod just reminded us. Like, it's like there's like 50 different artists at this thing.
Yeah, I saw this last night.
Usher, Janet Jackson, Snoop, Lil Wayne, Gwen Stefani. What's she doing there? Alicia Keys, Nelly Furtado, Mary J. Blige. You name it. Just name an artist. They're there. TLC, MIA.
What's Nelly Furtado been up to?
I really don't know.
You know, like after like that one song.
I have a buddy in DC, Tommy, who's always asking that about old musical artists and old athletes. He goes, "Gil, what do you think a guy like Biff Pocaroba is doing on a night like this?" I'm like, "I don't know. I haven't seen his baseball card in 30 years."
Gwen Stefani did stick out there on me because like she doesn't necessarily fit with everybody else, but it's also isn't she just making money like hand over fist these days? Like,
why does she need to do this concert?
Like, is she so bored? Is she like, you know what? I haven't done a show in 2 years.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, she's doing that show on NBC all the time, right?
The Voice or whatever. The Voice, whichever one.
Yeah.
Someone's got talent.
Somebody's got talent. Pat Monteforte. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Pat Monteforte. Since the Super Bowl is in Vegas, do we know which surface of field we're using at Allegiant? Yes, we do, Pat Monteforte. The NFL began preparing Allegiant Stadium this week for the Super Bowl. And the Raiders' natural grass field is on the league's to-do list. Now, by this week, I actually meant last week. This is from January 13th. There will be a brand new field. The grass used for the game will be brought in from a farm in California, and is a hybrid Bermuda variety. You asked. You want a thorough answer?
I found the answer of they were getting a new field. I didn't know we were going to get all the grass details.
From a farm in California, it's a hybrid Bermuda variety, and. There you go. Because remember, the field was not well received during their last regular season game against the Broncos, to say the least.
Yeah.
So.
And we have seen the freshly laid grass fields have problems where, like, you know, guys will take a whole chunk out of it. We've seen that a couple times in some of these games in the past. So, but still better than the turf.
Brian M. B. Morianen. I think what is being missed is the hateration for Purdy. Is because he's better than his draft position. Our holleration is in New England is Mac Jones sucks and was a waste of a first-round pick, but changes will allow for organizational... Oh, my God, he's all over the place. This is a great tweet, first of all, because he's talking about hateration and holleration, which is lyrics from an old Mary J. Blige song. But he's right, right? At the essence of what he's saying, Brian M., is correct. So much of this is because Brock Purdy is Mr. Irrelevant. And... therefore, with that, when you start there, by the way, people forgetting Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick too, by the way. And just, you know, that's purged from the rights. But there's something about that draft position that makes people want to sort of go after him without grace in a way that they don't for others.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I've always had an issue with, I remember we talked a lot about this like last summer, and it was always Purdy and Tua to me. Where it's they always get taken away, and it was Dan Orlovsky, and I'll always bring him up because I always think he's the best way to describe this, is we hate on these guys because we want to call them system quarterbacks, and they play in these great offensive systems. So we want to try to take away from the quarterback and give more of more of the credit to the coach. And it's everybody not named Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen is a system quarterback in the NFL pretty much. So, like, just because guys do it better than others doesn't mean that's something that shouldn't be appreciated. I don't get it.
Well said. Let's look at the look-ahead lines, because Will mentioned these. We talked about these on Monday. Once the championship games matchup were set up, that there were some books that already had put out what all the different combinations of Super Bowl lines would be. I mentioned that if it's the Niners and the Ravens, that the Niners were favored by 1.5. Is that the current on the right, Kelly? That's Circa
on
the
Circa
right.
So Circa and DraftKings.
DraftKings
both
on the left, Circa on the right. So DraftKings is -1.5 in favor of the Niners. Circa came out with the Niners -1. Now, we spoke a little about this moments ago with Will, and I mentioned Steve Fezzik believes that if this is in fact the matchup, this will be a pick'em. And I think he's right because, again, you have to just try to put your mind as to where will the general market be after Patrick Mahomes goes into Baltimore and upsets, that the Ravens and the Niners, because the Ravens beat the Niners as they did so badly, that the sentiment will will go just a tick more towards the Ravens on this. We don't usually have pick'ems in the Super Bowl, but this could be one. 49ers, yeah. Chiefs, on the other hand, by the way, which is the 49ers minus 2.5. That's not going to be 3 because of what I was just about to say, which is you have to put your mind in, oh, Patrick Mahomes just went in to Buffalo and Baltimore consecutively and beat both of those teams on the road. There's no chance he's getting 3 again.
Yeah, I think that one makes a lot of sense. You're right, though. The Ravens one, yes. I think you and Steve are both right that would probably be closer to a pick'em, even though, as Will brought up, I mean, it was a 6-point spread when those guys played. So, that will be interesting. These are interesting numbers, and you do have to think that way, right? What is the reaction going to be by the books if whatever result plays out?
If you're considering a bet now,
yeah,
correct.
And is there something worth getting ahead of? I think the 49ers Raven one's probably the best point. If that is, I think that would move closer to a pick'em. Okay, maybe you should bet this now if you really like the Ravens.
And there will be, like, if we, again, we're going to do 2 weeks on whatever the matchup is, right?
I mean, like, Chiefs-Lions, like, let's play. I mean, I know those are the, we're talking about the two dogs this week, but if the Chiefs beat the Ravens, and I don't know, let's say the Niners look like they did last week and the Lions at, Niners look like they did last
you're
week.
You're saying the Chiefs will
Lions
be more
actually
than 3?
Yes, Lions actually pull
right.
out a W.
I think you're right.
Instead of, you know, the Packers letting it get away. Right. Like, that's like Chiefs, like, 4.5, 5.
Yeah, Chiefs listed, by the way, for those who can't see this, DraftKings and Circa as 3-point favorites. Look ahead line over the Lions. I agree with you, Kelly. I think it would be more. And the only other combination, Lions-Ravens. Ravens are favored, hypothetically, at 3.5 at DraftKings, but 4.5 at Circa. That's the biggest difference of the bunch. That's a full point difference. Circa has the Ravens at 4.5 over the Lions. I do think, you know, you just think about it. We're going to have 2 weeks, right? So after these two games on Sunday, we're going to have two weeks of talking about a matchup. That's the case every year. By the end, it's sort of interminable, right? Because you're like, okay, we've talked about this every which way. But there's props to get us distracted. There's awards that'll come down February 8th. So there'll be other things to talk about. But, you know, ultimately, you think about, oh, what are all the different things that people are going to talk about? When they talk about the Niners and Ravens, yes, they're going to talk about how the Ravens blasted them. But part of that's also going to be like, you know, Purdy was kind of unlucky on a couple of those picks, too, right? Like, they were batted in the air. Some people will spin it that way also. So it's not going to be like this massive shift of a line from what we have here. But I think it will be a tick and a half.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's really the one time a year where we bring up how much of the public money actually does influence, you know, some lines, right?
So, let this be the first time I give that speech this year, which we've given every year, which is, for as long as bookmakers in this town can remember, during regular seasons, when folks bet the underdog, they tend to take the points. That's common betting behavior. For whatever reason, and nobody knows why, sort of like my Morgan Freeman line of March of the Penguins, and then one day, one penguin takes a step in this direction, right? We don't know why.
What?
That was the whole thing of March of the Penguins. One penguin takes one step, and then, like, they don't know why the rest follow. But this is like with the Super Bowl betting market. The behavior is different. Instead of taking the dog and the points, the public tends to just take the dog on the money line. Maybe it's because it's the last salvo of the year, and so they just want to go for the gusto, so they go for the bang for your buck. And so what you end up having in a Super Bowl is a muted money line on the favorite. And one day, one penguin takes a step in one direction. That's really what it is. And so they don't know why.
Yeah.
Same way we don't know why the Penguins do that. So, didn't think I'd make that comparison this morning. But that's how Super Bowl betting behavior is different from regular season each and every year. So, there's always going to be value on the money line, on the favorite, yep, because of that behavior.
The other one, I'm thinking about this more, I don't, unless the Niners stomp the Lions, which they could, I hope they do, even that Chiefs-Niners one, I think is going to shift a little bit. I just think there's going to be this overwhelming sentiment of if Patrick Mahomes beats the Bills and Ravens back-to-back.
I think
back
you're right.
Back
2.5 might be too much is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Dan Le Batard is next on DK Network. We're coming back. Mike Pritchard and Aaron Schatz. Jason Weingarten, too, next.